This is an iHeart podcast.
Whatever team Fia is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Is Pam Bondi up for this? We'll talk about that. Kash Patel had a huge hearing in front of the Senate. Who is funding all this communist terrorism? All that coming up on I'm Right. Okay, let's have a hard talk about where we are, but more specifically, what we have to do right now, because we do have to do something. We are in one of those tipping point, really important times in history. In the lifetime of our country, this moment right now is a very important tipping point. And I say that because we have to march forward right now, with clarity and purpose in destroying the communist menace in this country, taking apart their violent terror networks, going after the people who fund their violent terror networks. We also have to arrest and imprison the deep state people who use their positions inside the CIA, FBI, to destroy this country. This has to be done now. Now. Not 10 years from now, not when it's nicer, not when it's more convenient. This has to be done now, because what's happening is the communist revolution is getting more overt, more public, more radicalized. We have to kill it now. Now. And to that end, I want to give credit where credit is due, because there are people in our movement, people who are leading our movement, who are saying a lot of very wonderful things, and I'm inspired by what I hear. J.D. Vance, the Vice President of the United States of America, this is speaking with clarity and purpose.
There is no unity with people who scream at children over their parents' politics. There is no unity with someone who lies about what Charlie Kirk said in order to excuse his murder. There is no unity with someone who harasses an innocent family the day after the father of that family lost a dear friend. There is no unity with the people who celebrate Charlie Kirk's assassination. And there is no unity with the people who fund these articles, who pay the salaries of these terrorist sympathizers, who argue that Charlie Kirk, a loving husband and father, deserved a shot to the neck because he spoke words with which they disagree. I am desperate for our country to be united in condemnation of the actions and the ideas that killed my friend. I want it so badly that I will tell you a difficult truth. We can only have it with people who acknowledge that political violence is unacceptable, and when we work to dismantle the institutions that promote violence and terrorism in our own country.
That is wonderful. And it's not just him. Donald Trump, honestly, has been great. Stephen Miller has been better than great. Here, Stephen Miller.
The last message that Charlie sent me was, I think it was just the day before we lost him, which is that we need to have an organized strategy to go after the left-wing organizations that are promoting violence in this country. And I will write those words onto my heart and I will carry them out. We are going to channel all of the anger that we have over the organized campaign that led to this assassination to uproot and dismantle these terrorist networks. So let me explain a little bit what that means. So
I've got 30 seconds, so be quick, Stephen.
The organized doxing campaigns, the organized riots, the organized street violence, the organized campaigns of dehumanization, vilification, posting people's addresses, combining that with messaging that's designed to trigger incite violence, and the actual organized cells that carry out and facilitate the violence, it is a vast domestic terror movement. And with God as my witness, we are going to use every resource we have at the Department of Justice, Homeland Security, and throughout this government to identify, disrupt, dismantle, and destroy these networks and make America safe again for the American people. It will happen, and we will do it in Charlie's name.
Okay. I don't want to just gloss over how critically important that is, what the vice president said and what Stephen Miller just said, because they understand the challenge. I would be very, very concerned if all the conversation right now was just about the assassin himself, making sure he gets justice, pretending as if it's just a guy. It's not a guy. Years and years and millions of dollars has resulted in a vast communist network in this country, much of it violent, much of it organized on the internet. And now they're doing weapons training, they're assassinating people, and they're going to get bolder and more violent from here. It is a terrorist network that must be taken apart brick by brick, and that the institution, the White House itself, that is a powerful institution, that it acknowledges that it knows that and is speaking about that is hugely important. So I want to make sure I stress that is wonderful, and you should feel good about that. But, and you had to know there was a but coming. J.D. Vance is not going to be leading any investigations. J.D. Vance is not going to be organizing any counterterrorism law enforcement efforts. Neither is Donald Trump. Neither is Stephen Miller. That's not their role. That's not what they're supposed to be doing. It is, however, the role of the top law enforcement officer in the United States of America. It is the role of the Attorney General of the United States of America. Her name is Pam Bondi. Now, I want to clarify something, because I said in the very beginning that we are at a critical tipping point. So this is what I mean. This is our opportunity right now to imprison people like John Brennan. If you take over the CIA and use it for Democrat politics, you use it to run operations against Republicans, you have to go to prison for that. We've discussed that many times before. And other communists in the government have to see you go to prison for that. That's one. Two, this terror network is larger than you know. I want to be clear about this. It's not as if it was one guy. It's not as if it was one group. It has metastasized into groups across the country, red states and blue states, often LGBTQ-based groups of online, mentally broken, soulless demons who talk about violence, plot assassinations. They train with their weapons. They train as a group. Do you remember when a group of them attacked a Border Patrol facility? By the grace of God, the only one who died was one of them. But it wasn't a one-guy operation. It was a group of them carrying out a campaign. We talked about it on this show. We have terrorist cells, homegrown terrorist cells of communists in this country. And that last assassination, the assassination of Charlie Kirk, will not be the last one. They're ready. They're moving. The Attorney General of the United States of America must take them apart brick by brick. It will be massive and it will be controversial. Now, I told you before Donald Trump even picked Pam Bondi or tried to pick Matt Gaetz, I came right here on the TV and I told you, by far, by a mile, the most important pick Donald Trump had to make was Attorney General, because I knew there were networks that had to be taken apart, and we needed a super sharp pit bull who was unafraid of public condemnation at all. I'm going to play something for you that you've seen many times before. I'm going to play her on Fox News when she's asked about the Epstein list. Now, keep in mind, when she's asked by the host, she didn't say Epstein list. The host said Epstein list. When she's asked about the Epstein list by the host, the Epstein list doesn't exist. There's no one list. There's a bunch of files and things like that, but there's no one list. It's not something that exists. When she's asked by the host about the list, I want you to listen to her answer. Here she was.
The DOJ may be releasing the list of Jeffrey Epstein's clients? Will that really happen?
It's sitting on my desk right now to review.
It's sitting on my desk? There's no list, and she knew it. She hadn't even looked at it. But why answer the question that way then? She didn't even know it was on her desk. We know that now. Why answer the question that way then? Do you know why? This is actually the most damaging part. Because that's what he wanted to hear. That's what the host on Fox News wanted to hear. That's what the audience watching Fox News wanted to hear. And so instead of giving hard truths, we're still sorting through things. Some of it's classified. We're going to get to the bottom of this. There's no one consolidated list. There are a bunch of files. We're coming. Instead of giving hard truths like that, we got the people-pleasing answer. It's sitting on my desk. It doesn't work. She went on Fox News, I think this was this morning, and said this.
That's horrific. It's free speech, but you shouldn't be employed anywhere if you're going to say that. And employers, you have an obligation to get rid of people. You need to look at people who are saying horrible things, and they shouldn't be working with you. Businesses cannot discriminate. If you want to go in and print posters with Charlie's pictures on them for a vigil, you have to let them do that. We can prosecute you for that. I have Harmeet Dhillon right now in our civil rights unit looking at that immediately, that Office Depot had done that. We're looking at that. But Sean, you know,
what? The DOJ is now going to force businesses to print the things they want printed? Office Depot already fired the employee who refused to print that. Office Depot heard about it, found out about it, fired the employee. We need the DOJ throwing John Brennan in Fort Leavenworth for the rest of his life. We need the DOJ. We need Pam Bondi tearing down communist networks brick by brick. We don't need Pam Bondi forcing things from Office Depot. This is the kind of amateur hour, people-pleasing crap we cannot afford at this time. Pam Bondi is not an intern at the local law firm. She's not some nobody in society. Pam Bondi, right or wrong, for better or worse, has arguably the most important position in the United States of America right now, and that includes the presidency. That includes the presidency. What we need from Pam Bondi right now is more than we need from any one individual in the United States of America. And this seems like amateur hour, ridiculous crap. And that pales in comparison to what came out yesterday when she said, we're going to start prosecuting hate speech.
There's free speech and then there's hate speech. And there is no place, especially now, especially after what happened to Charlie, in our society.
Do you see more law enforcement going after these groups who are using hate speech and putting cuffs on people so we show them that some action is better than no action?
We will absolutely target you, go after you, if you are targeting anyone with hate speech, anything. And that's across the aisle.
Hate speech is not a thing. Free speech is hate speech. Now, you can't threaten people with violence, of course, but this is the tactic of the communists. This is how tyrannical communists throughout history have attacked people's freedoms. They've done it to you. They've done it to me. This is the justification the Biden White House used to go to Facebook and Twitter and tell them to cancel your account for questioning COVID measures and things like that. And we don't even need her focused on this ridiculous crap again. I want to stress this. It's not just the John Brennans and James Comeys of the world have to burn, and she's the one who does it. The John Brennans and James Comeys of the world are deeply connected. FBI, CIA, they will have super deep pockets. This woman is going to have to go up against the finest defense attorneys on the planet if she is to be successful. This woman has to head up the task force that tears apart internet cells wherever they are found. And we get this amateur hour crap. Amateur hour is over. It's not 1980. It's 2025. We don't have time for this. I don't know whether she can be replaced with someone decent. I don't know whether or not she can be shaken awake, but I would kindly ask Pam Bondi to get off Fox News, get off the podcast circuit, and start doing what we need you to do, AG. The country needs it now. If you're not ready, get your butt back to Florida. We'll find someone who is. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. God, freaking fires me up. Kash Patel was fired up today. Spoke in front of the Senate. Talk about that a little bit. Before we talk about that, let me talk to you about this. Continue to punish the communists for their arrogance, for the evil deeds they've done, and punish the ones in corporate America most especially. We didn't get to this open jails part in our society by accident. We got there with corporate sponsorship. Go look up your cell phone company. Go look up Verizon, AT&T, or T-Mobile and find out what they were doing when the animals were burning down police precincts after George Floyd died. Find out what your cell phone company did. I know what mine didn't do. Mine didn't participate. I have Pure Talk. I pay less. I'm on the exact same network, and mine didn't participate. Do you want to be part of a company like that? Switch. You'll save money. Keep your phone. Keep your number. PureTalk.com/JesseTV. We'll be back.
Would you guys consider anything less than the championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. 3 times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
What I told people, I was making a podcast about Benghazi. 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put 2 and 2 together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, let's focus on the other half of this network that we need to take apart the terror network, the Federal Bureau of Investigation. They are the federal law enforcement arm, and we need them right now. And Kash Patel sat in front of the United States Senate today, answered a lot of questions, there was a lot of back and forth, and of course, there were a lot of communist senators beclowning themselves.
You are now requiring applicants to be able to do a certain kind of pull-ups, which a lot of women cannot because of physiological differences. Are you requiring these kinds of pull-ups?
If you want to chase down a bad guy and put him in handcuffs, you better be able to do a pull-up.
The reason I ask is that there are concerns about whether or not being able to do these kinds of harsh pull-ups is really required of FBI agents.
Doing one pull-up is not harsh, and there are always medical exemptions to that.
Nothing came of that review until July, when DOJ and FBI released an unsigned memorandum stating there is no incriminating client list. Why was this July 7th memorandum unsigned?
Would you prefer I've used AutoPen? If you want to work on bringing this country, it's my time, not yours.
My God.
If you want to talk about
dividing this country,
it is my time.
I follow you on your social media posts that
it
tear this country apart.
To address there should be your a falsehoods.
Oh, you can try all you want
in this country
to not take responsibility
time.
For what you have
your
said.
Time.
Sir, you're
your
making time a mockery of this committee. Sir, you don't tell me my time is over.
You
the people of New Jersey tell me what my time is.
Senator,
you can't lecture me.
You can tell me my time is over.
You may be the charge of the FBI, but I am not afraid of you,
Mr. Chairman.
Not afraid of you.
We have countlessly proven you to be a liar in Russia. In
and
January 6th,
you
are the biggest
weeds?
Fraud to ever sit
this
in the United States Senate.
You
are a disgrace to this institution
to
and an utter coward.
I'm not surprised
that you continue to lie from
the,
your perch and put on a show
you,
so you can go raise money for your charade.
For
you are a political buffoon at best.
Cash standing up for himself there. So, of course, it was an embarrassment with Democrats doing exactly what Cash just pointed out. They're out there raising money. Cory Booker's very clearly running for president. That's why he has a fiance now, and that's why he's going to start getting louder and more obnoxious as these things go on. But let's move past all that and focus on other things. What did Cash Patel reveal? Well, things like fugitives on the most wanted list going down.
We have also arrested four top 10 fugitives from the FBI's top 10 most wanted list. To put that in perspective, that's the same amount I've captured in 7 months than my predecessor did during the entirety of the Biden administration.
Okay. Well, that raises an interesting question, doesn't it? If Kash Patel's FBI was able to arrest four people on the top 10 most wanted list in 7 months, and Joe Biden, Christopher Wray's FBI, was only able to arrest four people in 4 years, what were they doing? Well, that's an important thing to dig into. Senator Chuck Grassley of Iowa revealed a bit of what they were doing.
I made public records that whistleblowers provided me about Arctic Frost. In total, 92 Republican targets, including Republican groups and Republican-linked individuals, were placed under investigative scope of Arctic Frost. On that political list was one of Charlie Kirk's groups, Turning Point USA. In other words, Arctic Frost wasn't just a case to politically investigate Trump. It was the vehicle by which partisan FBI agents and Department of Justice prosecutors could achieve their partisan ends and improperly investigate the entire Republican political apparatus.
It wasn't just that they turned the FBI against you. They spent 4 years not breaking up domestic terror cells, not hunting down those on the most wanted list. They spent 4 years hunting down you. It's not just that. The monsters who did it got paid with your money.
Ms. Page resigned from the FBI. Mr. Strzok was fired. They promptly sued the federal government and the FBI and Justice Department for releasing their emails, which revealed all of this. The FBI settled that lawsuit for $1.2 million, gave Mr. Strzok $1.2 million cash, gave Ms. Page, who resigned. She wasn't fired, she resigned, she quit. Gave her $800,000. Who, if the FBI made that decision to give them money?
The only people that can decide that settlement are the Attorney General in conjunction with the director and the administration.
Okay, so you're telling me that Attorney General Garland and Director Wray decided to give them the money. Is
yes,
that right?
Sir.
They paid the deep staters a fortune on the way out the door. This is where we are. Now, Cash went on, he talked about how there'd been terminations and things like that, and I'm happy about that, I'm glad, but let's focus on where we're at as far as taking apart this domestic terror apparatus. In the wake of the Charlie Kirk assassination, as we've already discussed, that has got to be top priority. Here's what Cash Patel said about that.
Unfortunately, it has been leaked that there was a Discord chat, and for those unfamiliar with it, it's a gaming chat room online that the suspect participated in. And we're also going to be investigating anyone and everyone involved in that Discord chat.
Okay, very good. I see the public reports that the Discord thread had as many as 20 additional users. It sounds like you're trying to run down all of that to see if that's accurate. Who else may have been on that thread, what they may have known. Is that fair to say?
It's a lot more than that. We're running them all down.
It's a lot more than 20?
Yes, sir.
And you're running all of that to ground?
Every single one.
Yeah, fantastic.
I've always said we follow the money. And whether it's terrorism or attacks based on ideology or attacks on institutions of faith or people of faith, someone's paying for it. And we are reverse tracing those steps. We are not stopping at the perpetrator themselves. We are reverse engineering to hold those accountable in our investigations to who funded them and knowingly funded them. And we will bring the appropriate steps against them with our partners at DOJ.
That's good. It's the right idea. Let's hope, because I don't know that this is the case, let's hope there are still enough capable FBI agents, not committed communists, capable FBI agents who were there to dig into this and run it down. We have to hope. We have to hope Pam Bondi will find her footing. We have to hope Cash Patel will do the right thing. We have to hope the FBI will track down these terror networks, this dark money behind it. We have a lot of hope, but that's all we got right now. Now, speaking of this dark money network, Tyler O'Neill wrote a book about it. You're going to be hearing a lot about dark money in the coming weeks, months, and years. It's important that we talk to Tyler about this and expose a bit of what exactly we're talking about. You're going to learn a lot in a moment. Before we do, you're going to learn about colostrum. Well, specifically, cowboy colostrum. As I told you, I was nothing but skeptical. In fact, I sneered at it when my sister told me about it this summer. I've been taking colostrum. I don't get sick anymore. My gut feels so much better. I'm really skeptical about such things. I reluctantly said, okay, I'll try it. All right. Pretty great stuff. But mine goes in my coffee in the morning. I add 2 scoops. They say you can add 1 or 2. I add 2 scoops to my cup of coffee in the morning. By the way, it's delicious. Mine's chocolate. I add 2 scoops to my coffee, so I essentially have chocolate coffee in the morning, and gut feels pretty good. I haven't so much as had the sniffles since I started. Cowboy colostrum is the real deal. You want to try some? You want a discount? CowboyColostrum.com/JesseTV. I'm skeptical to it. Well, I was. I'm a believer now. Try some. We'll be back.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. 3 times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
What I told people, I was making a podcast about Benghazi. 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put 2 and 2 together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, so I believe what you're referring to is there are these nonprofit entities that organize, as the president mentioned, attacks on ICE officers, attacks on Border Patrol agents, organized doxing campaigns, which are a violation of federal law. They break off cement and they bring into riots. They have organized drop points for weapons, organized drop points for gas masks, organized drop points for all the materials necessary to launch a riot. Of course, you saw that during the Black Lives Matter riots as well, too. So there's this whole network of organizations. And I think the key point the president's been making is somebody is paying for all of this. This is not happening for free. And so under the president's direction, the attorney general is going to find out who is paying for it, and they will now be criminally liable for paying for violence.
This is wonderful. I like it. Now let's talk to someone who knows a lot more about it than I do, probably you do, Tyler O'Neill. He's the senior editor for the Daily Signal, but more importantly, he wrote a book on this. We've talked to him before, called The Woketopus, about this dark money cabal that is behind all this stuff. Okay, Tyler, help us understand, because this is so far beyond most of our understanding, that this stuff is paid for and organized. I mean, you turn on CNN, you see the animals in the streets, and you think they're just upset citizens. Is that not the case?
Yeah, so a lot of this, and it's sometimes it's hard to prove exactly what's happening, but many, many times there are organizations that foot the bill for a lot of these protesters. And so you get, when you saw the anti-Israel encampments on college campuses, you saw people who had food and coffee and all sorts of things delivered to them while they're ostensibly protesting and making their voices known. In some cases, people are actually paid to engage in these protests. And so some of that funding, it often comes through NGOs that are connected to what I call the left's dark money network. And this is a series of nonprofits. Some of them don't like being called a network, but they all support left-wing causes. Often, you know, it's the constellation of issues I describe as woke: climate alarmism, critical race theory, gender ideology, and a preference for technocratic government. And they funded the activist groups that staffed and advised the Biden administration, using the federal government to push woke ideology on the American people. And that's the focus of the book. But many of these same NGOs and many of the dark money engines behind them are also funding some of the protests on the street. And it's very important for me to say, what we have is a funding trail where you have some of these dark money foundations bankrolling some of these nonprofits that then support protests, and then the protests become violent. So we don't have concrete proof, not only that the original foundations want there to be violence, but even that the NGOs that are more directly organizing the protests want there to be violence. And I think they work very hard to separate themselves from that violence, partially because they want to protect themselves from any sort of liability. So what President Trump is going to have to do, and what the FBI and the DOJ are going to have to do, is they follow the money, but then they have to prove somehow that these groups that were bankrolling these protest organizations wanted to engage in violence and wanted this to go forward, because when you are dealing with a RICO case or any sort of case of organized crime, you have to demonstrate not just, you know, there are a lot of things you have to prove. So I'm really glad that President Trump is looking at this. I'm really glad that Antifa should be scared to death right now, and they deserve to be targeted for these things. I mean, we saw in the riots in 2020, we saw federal buildings attacked and we saw police officers attacked. We saw houses and buildings burned down. Many of them, by the way, in the same majority-minority areas of these big cities where Black people lived and where Black lives were snuffed out in the name of Black Lives Matter. So, you know, when we're dealing with this, a crackdown on this is very important. But the administration has to get all its ducks in a row, and I think they will. But these investigations are going to take a while, and these are going to be high bars for President Trump to bring it to these NGOs and to the funders.
Can you explain why we have such a hard time following the money? Because people have a hard time understanding that. People who don't understand how the nonprofit world works, how the anonymity of donors work, they don't understand why, I mean, money goes from here to here to here. Surely you can track it all. You have the names. It's quite simple. It sounds like a 24-hour job. Can you explain why it's not that simple?
Yes. So one of the things that we talk about a lot is dark money. And usually it's the left condemning the right for this, but the left engages in it arguably more than the right does. You have these organizations. So there's a company called Arabella Advisors, and they work with a whole bunch of nonprofits. And these nonprofits almost exist to receive money from donors and then take that money and give it to projects that the donors don't want to be specifically connected with. And so these foundations, one of them is called the 1630 Fund. There's a bigger one called the New Venture Fund. They prop up a whole bunch of left-wing causes on across the spectrum, mostly often on climate issues, but they often run the gamut. And what you see here is what looks like a deliberate effort to allow donors to support projects without their names being tied to it. So that's where dark money comes in. I want to be very clear, though. There is nothing inherently nefarious about dark money. Dark money is the right that you and I have to give money to causes that we believe in without our names being revealed. I mean, this is part of that fundamental First Amendment freedom where we can advocate for things we believe in. So we have to be careful. There is a very big difference between funding terrorism and violence, and that's what the president is looking into, and I think that's it's high time we actually have answers to that, and funding non-governmental organizations that advocate things in the policy arena that people can disagree on. There is a big night and day difference between these things, and the left has often engaged in this very questionable middle ground where they turn the other way to Antifa. Sometimes they back up Antifa. Sometimes they work with Antifa. And it's like, no, we need to say Antifa is a violent organization that engages in effectively domestic terrorism, and we have to oppose its violence always. And if you're funding this in any way, that is a red line you're crossing.
This sounds like, and please correct me if I'm wrong, Tyler, this sounds like it was set up very intentionally and probably with some very expensive lawyers by the left. And therefore, it sounds like this is going to be a very difficult network to take apart for Pam Bondi, the Attorney General. Am I wrong in any of that?
No, you're exactly right. When it comes to, they've worked very hard to protect themselves. They have very strong lawyers. I mean, I've been covering the Southern Poverty Law Center for over a decade, and there are so many cases where they should be nailed on defamation, but they have really smart lawyers, and they wiggle their way out of it. And when you're dealing with the SPLC, they're rich and established, but they're nowhere near as rich and established as the Open Society Foundations, as Arabella Advisors, as the left's dark money network. So these organizations are very ready to protect themselves. And by the way, I need to say this until I'm blue in the face. I don't have evidence that they directly support or fund any sort of violence or terrorism or anything like that. But what I have seen time and time again is a funding stream connecting much of the left's dark money network to these NGOs that then organize protests that then engage in violence. And I think as the FBI and the DOJ looks at this, they're going to find fertile ground. It's just going to be a hard slog.
Do you think they're up to it?
I hope they are. I mean, I think I have confidence. So there have been really positive and really negative things we've been seeing from the FBI regards to the Charlie Kirk case. The fact that they had to release two persons of interest. Now, we're learning more about one of those persons of interest. It looks as though there are a lot more questions than we have answers to right now. And I think there has been a lot of success in that as well. But this FBI needs to be gearing up and ready because it's going to be a big fight. And I hope they can do it. There are a lot of really, really smart, effective, competent people in the Bureau right now. And they need to have, you know, a strong, steeled will because this is not going to be easy. And I think it's important to mention, you know, you rightly brought up the Southern Poverty Law Center on the screen there. The SPLC put Turning Point USA on their hate map that includes chapters of the Ku Klux Klan. And they did that in May, just a few months before this horrific assassination of Charlie Kirk. And I'm saying this until I'm blue in the face, but the SPLC had a statement that said, we oppose political violence. That's a tiny step, but I'm sorry, the SPLC needs to put its money where its mouth is. If they oppose political violence, they need, at the very least, to take Turning Point USA off that hate map right away, because that is the smallest thing they can do to show that this is more than just empty words for them.
Tyler, thank you, my friend. Appreciate it. All right. We're going to talk to another pastor about what's next for America's church. Before we talk to him, I know these are confusing times. It's a lot going on right now. It's a lot to digest, and that's why I want you to get some chalk in your body. Chalk is about your mind. The biggest benefit I have seen in taking a male vitality stack from chalk for over 3 years is my mind works so much better. I have so much better focus. It's like there's a fog there that slowly lifts the longer you take it. Now I'm better at work, I'm better at home, I'm just better, period. Chalk did that for me. Plus, 20% increase in your T levels in 90 days doesn't hurt either. Go to chalk.com/JesseTV and get a subscription. Chalk.com/JesseTV. We'll be back.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. 3 times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
What I told people, I was making a podcast about Benghazi. 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put two and two together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yes, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
How do you want to be remembered?
I mean, if I die?
Everything just goes away. How would you, if you could be associated with one thing, how would you want to be remembered?
I want to be remembered for courage for my faith. That would be the most important thing. Most important thing is my faith in my life.
That's wonderful. And it's spreading now. certainly was this past Sunday. Hopefully, with all the other ugliness going on, there is a revival coming. I feel like there might be. Joining me now, Pastor John Amanchukwu, Turning Point USA contributor, young adult pastor for the Upper Room Church of God in Christ in North Carolina. Pastor, maybe it's wishful thinking, so you can tell me if it's wishful thinking, but it feels like this is revival time.
It does. You know, martyrdom is a unique and strange thing. The word martyr means witness. And Charlie was assassinated, not simply killed or unalived. You know, we don't use that kind of terminology. He was assassinated because of his biblical worldview and because of his political positions. And when martyrdom takes place, even as we see in the Bible, it causes revival because it deepens the courage and stiffens the spines of men and women who call on the name of Jesus Christ.
Pastor, can you explain why that is the case? Because it very clearly is the case. I went to a vigil in my tiny town on Saturday night expecting there to be five people. There were hundreds in a tiny town, and kids, old people, speaking boldly, reading Bible verses, praying. Shouldn't they be afraid? Someone was just killed for that.
Well, you know, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind, of a sound conscience. And so, yes, naturally, because of our humanity, we may sense fear. But there is something in us that's greater than ourselves. And it's the Holy Spirit, you know, and these things take place and give us power to do unimaginable things and to stand bold, you know, as lions against the onslaught of the culture. And that's what Charlie Kirk embodied for 31 years. And it's sad to say that we live in a world and in a culture where if a person can't defeat your arguments, they seek to take your life. But even in assassinating Charlie Kirk, they were still not able to prove him wrong because you cannot assassinate the truth.
In this time, we obviously need a strong, wonderful church as much as ever, but that's not universal, obviously. I lost my church a few years ago because of my effeminate pastor who wouldn't speak boldly. We have terrible churches of every race and creed in this country. Here's a pastor, well, at least they call him a reverend, Jamal Bryant, after Charlie was killed. Here he was.
I'm concerned about all of these Negro preachers who've been, in fact, talking about that this man that was killed was the answer to Christ in the earth. Y'all ain't saying that. They having moments of silence in black churches all over the country over a man that was racist and a white supremacist. How dare you compare him to Martin Luther King? The only thing that Charlie Crist and Martin Luther King got in common is both of them was killed by a white man. After that, they got nothing else in common.
Pastor, that's so poisonous for everybody. It's just so such poison, and it sickens me that it happens from the pulpit.
The person that you just listened to, his name is Jamal Bryant. He's a heretic and a race hustler and a race baiter. There are a lot of things that Charlie Kirk and Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. had in common. First and foremost, the first thing that jumps off the pages is the fact that they were both Christians. They believed in American exceptionalism. They both believed in a nuclear family. They were both fathers and husbands. They both fought against victim mentalities, and they both wanted what was best for the black community. And there are some people who will tell you that Charlie Kirk was racist and a bigot. I've worked for Turning Point USA for the past 3.5 years. I'm married to a beautiful black woman, have black children. I would never work for a day, even if they were paying me tens of millions of dollars, I wouldn't work for a day for a person that I thought was racist. Charlie wasn't a racist, but he was one heck of a realist. And what he would do is critique different individuals and lifestyles and ideologies and behaviors with scripture and with facts. But the problem is with men like Jamal Bryant, he has failed to live a standard where the black church has something to live up to. He's dumbed down the standard. Charlie believed that black Americans in this country could live up to a higher standard. And that's what he talked about. And with facts and with information, he addressed these issues, but people like Jamal Bryant don't want to hear the truth. So instead of embracing the truth, he would much rather succumb to calling him a racist. Charlie wrote the foreword in my last book, all right? And it's just so powerful, the things that he said. I want to share this with you. Charlie said, he said, I had to watch thousands of pastors call themselves non-essential and gladly close their churches to worshipers for weeks or even months at a time. I've seen pastors who fear their neighbors more than they fear God, who fear dying most of all. And why would anyone want to follow a Christian who is worried about dying? And then he goes on to say many glowing things about yours truly. Charlie supported me. He is the reason why my message went across this nation in the manner that it did. When I joined forces with him, I didn't have a large following. I didn't have a huge platform. I didn't have the donors pouring in and supporting my efforts. But because of Charlie Kirk seeing the favor of God upon my life and knowing that I had something to say and offer this nation, Charlie allowed me to incubate within Turning Point USA, and he pushed my message and elevated my voice.
Pastor, I appreciate you very much. God bless. Come back soon. We have Light in the Mood. Next.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. 3 times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
What I told people, I was making a podcast about Benghazi. 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put two and two together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it is time to light the mood. And I want to emphasize this again. There are terrible things happening and there are terrible things to come. I know that. But there are also wonderful things happening and wonderful things to come. Remember that. Here's a video. Credit to producer John. This is where this one came from. Man going to church for the first time after Charlie dies.
You know, I don't come from any kind of money, and I've never owned a suit before. My wife, she bought me this suit. I just want my wife to know she made me feel good. It's a $300 suit. I ain't never had nothing like this before in my life, and I tell you what, okay, video flip here, so I'm gonna lose some of you. I didn't know Charlie Kirk, never met that guy before in my life. And something else that I've never done before in my life is believe in God. I'm going to wear this suit to church. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to try to be a better father, husband, and leader for my family. They deserve that. My phone fell down. I guess that's the devil trying to mess me up right now. I'm going to try, y'all. Look at this suit.
How about that? It was funny. He threw in a little cuss word and corrected himself. That was wonderful, though. I'll see you tomorrow.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. 3 times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.